Hello and welcome to Love Your Life Now, the podcast that helps you love your life now, or at least find out what other women, what other people, what other humans on this planet are experiencing and doing in order to help themselves, elevate themselves, and create better lives. So my name is Sonia Sophie, and today I am here with the wonderful
Christina Sergun Powers,
the gracious
Sabine Isayan,
and the giggly
Tina Thornton.
And we have a guest today also with us here today, and that is the beautiful
Courtney Titus.
All right, today, as we promised you last week, we will be talking about suns. We had been talking about the feminine energy of a collaboration versus competition, and then moved from that into talking about what it's like to raise a teen daughter and what comes up in the mother-daughter relationship. And when we ended, we kind of ended up at the place, well, what about the mother-son relationship? What's different there? And then maybe next week we'll move into some kind of a male energy or something. So we'll see. Stay tuned for now. And who is here ready to start the conversation today?
Okay, I'll start because the last thing I think we were saying is how if we were to compare our experiences with our daughters and sons, how much simpler our sons were.
Yeah.
At least that is my experience, and everybody agreed, so we decided that we'll talk about that. In terms of simple, my experience with my son is it's just really basic needs. Now, if he's fed or he learns how to, you know, make food for himself and he's heard and he can have some conversation with mom, he's happy, right? And so there's no, I'm not experiencing the same hormonal imbalances as a teenager as I'm doing with my daughter. And if one day he's in a bad mood, you know, it suddenly disappears really fast. It doesn't last days or sometimes not even hours. So all he wants from me is to stop, pay attention to him, listen to him, and that's it. He shares what's going on and he moves on as if nothing had happened. Is that your experience?
That is absolutely my experience. He is exponentially easier than the daughter. Now, the energy, they both have high energy. You know, I'm raising, you know, babies as a single mom was always challenging. Mm-hmm. But the teen years of going through the same thing, as long as his needs are taken care of, he is happy. And if he gets into, you know, a funk, you know, it's like, okay, mom, I was tired, or mom, I was hungry, I'm sorry about that. And just, you know, goes about the business. We traveled across country together, he and I. And I let him drive. I let him drive through the painted desert. And same thing. I mean, it was, you know, we have our moments, but he's just like, he kind of gets me right on. He goes, Mom, we got to stop and get food. Mom, look, we got to stop and get gas. And so if there's just anything where, you know, he knows me too, he kind of pays attention to my energy. Mm-hmm. He goes, hey, Mom, you know how you get when. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear the yelling, so let's make, he kind of is balancing my energy. Now, interestingly enough, before I had children, I was all in college. I was all about, you know, the power of the woman, that I wanted to raise a daughter. I wanted to give her story instead of history. I really wanted to empower women, and I couldn't even conceive of raising a boy, right? That's kind of where I was. And I was also a writer, and I wrote this story called It's a Boy. And it was this woman, what happened when she went through, she realized, I'm going to give birth to a boy. And being a feminist and being in that tradition of women and empowering women, how do I do that? How do I raise? And, you know, that the story kind of went through that because I experienced my nephew being born about that time. But it's interesting that that's just kind of evolved into raising my son. You know, they say it's a great, you take on a lot from the universe, the mothers who raise daughters. That's a tremendous responsibility. It's a high challenge. And they say, bless you for doing that. Because between the mothers and the daughters, there is always a struggle and challenge. When you raise the son, it's, and again, in the old, you know, traditions, they say you are, that is the one of many, women have many entries into, you know, sainthood or your elevated self because of, you know, raising this, you know, male in the right way to project that energy in a positive aspect of the world. Because in our society, you know, it's the patriarchal, the men are kind of, you know, in the power, and we're transferring that over, and now it's going to become, you know, the feminine. But when the women have raised these sons in a way that add to society instead of take away, mm-hmm. that is, you know, that mother's elevation. She doesn't have to do anything but just raise that son in that way to be there.
And as a reminder for everyone, Sabine, your son is how old?
14.
And Christina, your son is?
He's 14. He'll be 15 in a month.
And my son is 12, and he'll be 13 in less than a month. Mm. A little more than a month. Mm. And I, unlike you, I wanted a boy. I think. When I was pregnant. Before, I never really wanted kids anyway. and then I decided, okay, gonna have a baby. For my husband wanted to have a baby, and he wanted to have a son. So my wish was to give him what he wanted. He wanted to have a son. And I knew from the very beginning that it was a son, and I didn't want anything else. And not really knowing, though, how that's going to work out. Or mm-hmm. And I was surprised at how much I could love somebody. Mm-hmm. I really had no idea. Because before that, my thing was no kids. Don't need them. Don't need the bother of that. Don't want any kids. And never gave it another thought. And having him, then for me, this, oh my God, you can literally love someone so much, I would die every day, mm-hmm. just if that gave him another chance at living. Mm-hmm. Would not care. Any kind of a pain you want to put on me, doesn't matter. Absolutely makes no difference. And that was really, really surprising, unexpected. And I have that same experience as you do, of him being very easy. I have no issues with the kid. Sometimes I wonder, maybe I should have some more issues. Other people have issues with their kids. I don't have any. What's going wrong here? But I raise him from that place of love. That's all I give him. And I don't expect anything back. And I purposely don't expect anything back. I don't expect him to be good in school. I don't expect him to do, you know, anything out of respect for me. I don't expect him. I don't expect him to do anything. All I do is I give him love and I watch him grow, like we would do with a flower, I guess, or with a tree or something. Mm-hmm. That's really, for some reason, and again, that wasn't pre-planned. Mm-hmm. Before I had him, actually was reading some literature and, you know, how will I raise this kid because I want to do it perfect. But once he was there, it was all, I'm just going to give him love and try to not mess him up too much, get out of the way and see what happens. So far, it's been okay.
It's been great.
It's been great.
Yeah.
It's been great. However, you know, there is this voice where you're like, maybe when he's 17, it'll come out that you should have been more strict. You should have done more of that. You should have, you know, made him give you more respect or whatever. And he's not disrespectful.
He's very respectful, yeah.
But yeah, so the problem is I can't even punish him for if he does anything, because the worst thing that he'll do is not clean his room. And how do you punish a kid for not cleaning his room who never does anything else other than maybe not clean his room? I don't know. So that's my experience of
this. This is great, because I know all three of you. And the one thing you're talking about, and you were talking about expectation, and there's just a way that you guys interact, and I know that you raise your sons that way. There's this allowing, and you allow that being to emerge. There's no nagging. There's no bringing them back to what should be or what you've had a particular conditioning to bring them back to, or some of the things that maybe we've perceived in the traditional raising of a son. So it's really, really neat to watch these young men unfold the way that they're unfolding, and understand what you're giving them is exactly the fertile soil.
And they come back and give it back to us.
Mm, yes.
That's the cool thing. So when we've raised them that way, when we've respected them and heard them, and so they are totally in tune with us too. So when I'm experiencing being a little off, trying to control something, he brings my attention to mm-hmm. it so gently. Mm-hmm. He's like, Mom, what's going on? You told me to put the trash out. It's going to happen. You don't have to tell me 10 times. You know, so relax. So I'll be like, oh my gosh, you're right. Why am I, you know, so it's really awesome to have someone, you know, your child, keep you in touch with how you're being in life. And bring, you know, he's that seems like that's what he wants to do always. He picks up on my energies. When I'm picking up from him from school immediately, he'll either start talking and smiling at me because he picks up, oh, Mom is in this great energy. Or he'll be like, Mom, how was your day? What happened? What's going on? And so just brings me back to, you know, being aware of, hey, I'm not even present here. So
yeah. Do you think that as women, this is the voice at which you could hear what the masculine energy yes. would be expressing? You could hear it through that yes. son where you couldn't through your lover or your husband.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what I'm thinking. If we're going into the universe, what is it teaching us? Why are we having that? I believe it could be that. Because what I just said, I'm loving mm-hmm. him mm-hmm. so much, and I know he also loves me unconditionally. So there's a relaxing that I can do around him where I can allow myself to be as a woman who I am. Because I know he loves me unconditionally and he will not hurt me in any way. And he's bringing a balance to me. That yin-yang balance, that if I'm overcompensating on one side, on the male or the female energy, exactly. That's exactly what he does. And I look at him and I'm so amazed. I'm like, where do you come up with this stuff?
Yeah.
You know? I did not tell you this.
So these young men are building masters.
They are. And what you were saying, raising a son made me more aware of my husband's simplicity. Where I was probably making relationship complicated, and I get him so much better. He's a simple person. Mm-hmm. He's fed, he's satisfied with his basic needs, and he's heard. He's an amazing human being, right? So so having a son made a difference in that area too.
Yeah, and you know, I am aspiring to be that not nagging mother. So I would say I'm working on that every day. And now that he's becoming a young man, and looking and acting and responding and taking responsibility of who he is, it's, you know, much easier to interact with him in that way. So he will remind me of, you know, it's like, Mom, you're talking way too much. You need, I heard you the first time, and now you're repeating yourself. Oh, and you're repeating and repeating. He goes, you know, I've stopped listening.
So good.
So he is now in that space of reminding me of who I'm trying to be. Mm-hmm. And that is refreshing. Mm-hmm. And it's also refreshing to not have to feel like I have to show up as perfect. Mm. I used to feel like I had to show up as, I don't know if perfect is the word, but an example. I wanted to be the example. And when that, from that, my kids had a feeling like I was felt that I was perfect. And it really was not that at all. I just wanted to be an example for them to say, okay, that's, you know, if they wanted to do things this way, not that they had to do it my way, but it kind of, you know, came out to be them thinking that I wanted them to do things my way. And so I went, wait a second. I need to let myself open and exposed to all of me, all of the faults. And so now we have this relationship where both the kids, both my daughter and my son, see the faults and they can call me mm-hmm. on it, and that feels great.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like hiding something. It's just like, this is who I am. This is what I'm going through. Guess what? I feel bad today. I don't feel in a great mood. And not, you know, let's not engage in conversation right now. Let's give me some time to rebalance myself at this moment, and then let's come back. And they're responding the same way. You know, it's like, Mom, don't talk to me right now. Just let me take care of this, and we'll, you know, come back and have this conversation.
How liberating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally liberating.
Another generation would have seen it. Oh, you're talking back. You know, you know what I mean? It would have been a very mm-hmm. different perception. Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of people look at the outside conversation, because my kids and I have always been like that. And I mean, it hasn't been where I've always been an open door, but it's just kind of what they were developmentally ready to handle of, you know, who I was and all of those faults. And you know, I just noticed other people coming into the conversations with us, and you let your kids talk to you like that? It's like, well, they have thoughts and mm-hmm. ideas, and, you know, yeah, I want to hear what they have to say, and yeah, they might not like what I'm doing, but then I'm listening to them. And so it's kind of always been that open conversation where people appeared that the kids were talking back. You know, and then there's the moments when kids are kids and they overstep their boundaries because that's what they're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And you have to, as an adult, go, wait a minute, they are overstepping the boundaries, so we have limits. It's not this limitless, you know, chaos, but there is limits, but you have to be able to move and be flexible.
Mm-hmm. And I believe the further you can push out that boundary, that says something about yourself mm-hmm. of how sure and how safe and self-confident you are within yourself. Because you can only listen to an opposing opinion when you are all cool with your own opinion.
Yeah.
And you're grounded in that. Mm-hmm. Not overbearing. The moment that you have to shut someone off and out
is when you feel threatened.
Yeah.
Exactly. And your opinion can only be threatened when you're not even really 100% sure, or when there's some part of you that is letting you know, yeah, maybe mm-hmm. there's something else to look at. Maybe what you're saying is 100% the truth isn't really it, and you're afraid to look at it. Mm-hmm. And so that's when progress is being stopped. So, right? Because us raising these children a little bit more, where some other people would say, well, you're letting them do what they want to do, you know, you're supposed to tell them what to do. You know what? Is your life perfect? Is my life perfect? If those lives were all perfect, then maybe yes, we should tell them to do exactly what we're doing. And yet we all know that our lives are not perfect, which means there are other ways of doing things better, which we haven't tried out. And so let them have the opportunity mm-hmm. of experiencing that and figuring that out and showing us how you can do it differently. And so as a son, I think that, like you said, when you have that motherly love, you're a little bit more open to that. And the more love you give a son, the more love he will give back, and he'll heal you and parts inside of you that have to do with your own struggles with feminine and masculine, and figuring out, when do I have to balance, when do I have to have a power struggle, and when can I just let go and accept every human being, male or female, as equal.
And you do this with allowing, with no attachment.
Yeah, and I'm also hearing fun and play. So when we bring fun and play, there's really nothing to do or get to. You're creating in that moment. And so I, you know, it started a few years ago. So he starts using some curse words. Like, I think he's testing me or testing the word. You know, he'll be saying these curse words, and I don't use them. I don't have a need, and I don't judge them either. But so at first I was like, I'm not enjoying it. I just have to be honest with him. And I said, listen, when you start using these words, I can't hear you. If you want me to hear you, I would appreciate if you use simple, like, real world words, not the curse words. So so he laughs and has fun with it, and so then we can get into conversation. Versus if I were like, oh my gosh, how dare you use these words around me? Mm-hmm. What are you doing? So I think just always bringing fun and play diffuses all these things, because they're going to test us. They're testing their own selves.
We want them to, yeah.
So that's something I just wanted to put in there. Keep it fun.
Yeah. You know, and since on the curse word topic, I was going to the extreme, because I guess the way I was raised too, when they were younger, we don't say that in the house, we don't say it on the table, we don't say it in the car, you know, other people, we don't use those words. I guess, you know, vilifying them. Mm-hmm. And I guess as it's evolved, and then, you know, of course, a few years ago when they hit middle school, mm-hmm. and it's just a part of the language and the culture, you're hearing it more and more. And so you're trying to figure out, well, how do I do this? Do I, you know, you get, you know, a consequence, da, 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 da. And I guess in the last year, and do I curse? Yes. And so it's just opened up this freedom. So, you know, understanding in our house and the way we talk, you're expressing something, so to let them talk like that and to not feel like, you know, my ears are going to burn and singe from it, and to feel okay that, you know, if I'm driving the car and somebody cuts me off and I let something fly, that I'm not feeling like, oh, I said something in front of my kids I shouldn't. It's suddenly a freedom.
Totally, and I never used to curse, and now sometimes I do, and my son will be like, all right, Mom, this is the right place for it. Right. Yeah, let it out.
Like, okay, great. Right, like there always is a time and a place, and you don't want to use it to be disrespectful to someone, but if, like, someone cuts you off, we are in LA, it happens all the time, you want to, it's a way to release that energy in, like, a moment, and that's okay, but if, like, you're directing those curse words to somebody, or derogatory terms or racial slurs or whatever, then that's when it's not appropriate. Mm-hmm. But music these days is a huge thing for kids, and that's opening the doors to a whole world that nobody really wants to be a part of, but it's coming, and it's something that we have to prepare for. Right.
That's a great point. And the way I talked about cuss words with my son when he was very young, 4 years, 5 years old, I just started explaining to him the energy. And so he became the cuss word police. So if anyone said anything that he even slightly thought could possibly be a cuss word in kindergarten, and when I picked him up in the car, he would tell me about it. And what I just explained to him was that these types of words, when you bring them out, it, you know, it comes back to you somehow. So people who are using a lot of cuss words all the time, well, what areas of the city do they usually live in? What types of jobs are they usually holding? Mm-hmm. And I was just showing to him, and it's the same as an overuse of alcohol, an overuse of drugs, right? So you drink a glass of wine in a very beautiful, you know, countryside club, whatever, and it's okay. Nobody has a problem with it. However, you drink a bottle of rum every single day, your life is going to look much different and probably not in the way you really want to experience it. Right. Or maybe you do in that moment. And so I was explaining to him about cuss words that way, and we never had a problem with it. And I've used more than him still to this day, because if I'm thinking I'm running into someone with the car, or I'm dropping dinner, you know, right, you know, and the glass breaks or something, there's like a word that comes out, and that's when I use it, and that's it. And I think using it, saying it that way, so I never told him not to say it. I just explained to him, you know, when you use a lot of cuss words, probabilities are your life's going to start looking like that, and people who are using them and maybe directing them towards you in your first grade, second grade, third grade, this is just, you know, just think about possibly at home, people are saying those words to them all the time. Mm-hmm. So they're using
that negative
them
energy.
And don't take that on. They don't really mean you. They're just trying to express, and they haven't learned any other way. And he got it.
Yeah, of course.
And your kids are never too young to understand these things.
Yeah,
think we have to wait until they're 17 or 18 to explain these
then
things.
Then it's too late.
Then they have to work through all this stuff.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was about the cuss word. Funny that you guys brought that up. Yeah. And with that, oh my gosh.
Time's up.
We're out of time. So next week, how do you feel about talking then about the male-female energy, our experience of it?
Love it.
So tune back in next week. And until then, make sure to love your life now.